Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Columbus, Ohio. This live talk program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind now as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton. You're on the Doers of the Word live talk radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. Our phone number is 1-800-773-TALK. That's 1-800-773-8255. If you have a question, give us a call. We've been sharing with you in the past several days on the subject of the truth about Halloween and also the truth about Christmas. Today we're going to talk about the other holidays and just kind of summarize all these holidays. You know, when we talk about a holiday, where do we get holiday from? From Holy Day. But are our holidays holy days? Well, they were the paganism, although not all holidays are evil. Columbus Day is not a bad day. Independence Day is not a bad day. Labor Day, Thanksgiving, these are all American holidays that originate from things that have occurred here in America. So there's nothing evil about these particular holidays, and they're fine to celebrate the things that have occurred in this country. But we must understand that these other holidays are not just American, but they are rooted in paganism and witchcraft. And we're going to talk about them. Let's start off at the beginning of the year, New Year's Day. New Year's Day and the New Year's Eve celebration is simply a continuation of the Roman Saturnalia, which we've already been talking about, which is the December 25th birthday of the unconquered sun, the pagan Messiah. And so this, remember, goes from December, and middle of December, about the 17th, on through January 6th. That was the normal time period of the continuation of this Roman Saturnalia. Well, one of these here is a day of wild partying and drunkenness, which was the time here on New Year's Eve preceding New Year's Day. You see, what they would do is they would worship the Roman god Janus, and they would sacrifice to him by exchanging of gifts. Now, Janus, the Roman god, that's where we get the name of our month, January. It is named after this Roman god Janus, which of course is false. Now, back there at the time in the ancient days, the priests used to give branches of mistletoe. That was their gifts that they used to give, which grew on their sacred oaks, referring to the pagan sun god worship. So they were offering, exchanging their gifts, giving their branches as a gift unto the sun god. So this was a time of sacrificing to the Roman god Janus during the Saturnalia, which was worship of the sun god. What should we do about this? Well, the church in the past was always encouraged not to have anything to do with any of this type of celebration. They would spend the day in quiet meditation, reading the scripture, performing acts of charity, but not to be involved in this thing whatsoever. And so they would have their New Year's Eve service that as the new year would come in. And remember, their year is not God's year. God's reckoning of time has nothing to do with this reckoning of time that we have now. This is all set up by paganism. It is after a solar year. God's year is a lunar year. And so what do we see today? Are people still participating in this? Yes, they are. This is a holiday for them. And what do the churches do? The churches have their New Year's Eve service. Well, everybody has their New Year's Eve parties, and so they do it. So the churches decided that they would just change this and make this a New Year's Eve watch night service type of a thing. Well, what are we watching for? We're watching for the new year to come in. What new year is this? This is the pagan new year of the solar calendar, which is in conjunction with them worshiping Janus. Do we have a watch night service at our church? Absolutely not. We eliminated that when we learned about this years back. We're not going to be involved in this kind of thing. Why do we have to, in the body of Christ, continue to be involved in paganistic observances, such as observing the new year and having this time of the watch night party type of a service? You must understand that the abominations of all these nations are to be avoided. This thing's entirely worldly. So we don't want to have anything to do with it whatsoever. We don't do any special stuff. We just ignore all of these things, and we just go about the business of reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another holiday that comes up, Groundhog Day. It's supposed to be the time, remember, when the groundhog comes up and sees his shadow, and supposedly tells how many more days of winter there are when spring will start. Well, what's all behind this? Why is this important? Because they were looking, this is all rooted in witchcraft, and he's divining the future and looking for the rising of the spring. Why? Because the spring goddess was going to come forth. In these ancient days, in the witchcraft, they had their winter god, who was Nimrod, and they had their spring goddess, who was Semiramis. And Semiramis, the spring god, also known as the earth goddess, would go into the earth during this time of the winter. And then she would be awakened during the spring. And so the Groundhog Day was a divination of witchcraft to the reawakening of the spring goddess again, and this also was tied into the paganistic belief of reincarnation. How about the next one, which is St. Valentine's Day? Well, this one isn't a good one either. February 14th was 13 days after February 1st, which was one of the high holy days of witchcraft. This was an ancient fertility ritual. Cupid, who was considered the son of Venus, which was Semiramis, Jupiter, the sun god, type of Nimrod, and this particular one was a sexual festival with drunkenness and sexual orgies. What they did, they gave sacrifices to their gods, the sexual gods that they were worshiping, and they gave sacrifices to them by candies and spring flowers. They offered up their sacrifice to the gods. Where do you think we got all these things about the candies and all the spring flowers and so forth? It was what they used to offer up in sacrifice to their gods. Cupid, the Latin name of the god of sexual love, or Eros, is also considered another name for the sun god. And the gods that were associated with Cupid were Himeros, a god of longing and desire, and Pitho, P-E-I-T-H-O, which was a god of persuasion. And what do you see? People being persuaded through the spirit of longing desire, these evil spirits, to engage in sexual orgies. And this is what was going on at this time. And so the ancient worship rites, way back there, centered that they had a worship of the god Pan, they call him, who was also called Lupercus, and they did this at a place called Lupercal, where the priests, they would purify themselves in these particular rites. And one of the things that they did was they would sacrifice and eat goats and dogs and cut the skins into strips for lashes. And they'd run around, they'd chase after the women, and striking the women, which had sexual significance in this unrestrained sexual festival. In reality, Valentine's Day is all rooted in unrestrained sexual festival, an ancient fertility ritual, which they were sacrificing to the sexual gods through the candies, the flowers, which in reality, it was a worship of the pagan sun god and the queen of heaven. God does not want us have us involved in any of these things. And of course, the Catholics came along and changed all this stuff to try to make it something that would merge in with the world and be acceptable. 496 A.D., Pope Gelasius changed the ceremonial rites to St. Valentine's Day. Left all the same old things in there. It was considered a feast of purification. They did all these things. And so now we change this around to the Catholics that have been responsible for this to make it St. Valentine's Day, to make it some kind of an accepted day. That's another one of these evil ones. How about St. Patrick's Day? And I'm not trying to destroy all of your holidays. I'm trying to expose the truth to you. And I trust that you will be open. You can check it out. Get your encyclopedias out. Go to the library. Check all these things out. You'll find this is all the truth. St. Patrick's Day, where did this all come back to? In Babylon mystery religion, they had a giant bronze statue of Molech with horns over a fire pit where they used to have their infants. They'd place them over the fire to get their financial blessings. They'd sacrifice them for their blessings and their protection. And what came down from this was the fact that they would offer up these with the horns there for blessings and protection. And it came down that they had a a demon that was involved in doing this. So they came down the tradition here that came with the leprechaun, who was a demonic imp, the elf in his green outfit, you know, that's green, significant, symbolic of the earth creature, a creature of the earth. And, you know, this leprechaun, he's got his cauldron, which is cauldron, he's got the little gold coins, you know, that pot of gold, he's carried around his shillelagh. The shillelagh was his source of power, where he would do witchcraft. You know how they talk of even one of those, what's that one cereal called Lucky Charms, where he'd sit there and hit his little shillelagh to instantly things would happen. It was all witchcraft divination. And what was the purpose of this? For blessing and good luck. The leprechaun would wear that Italian horn. And that thing would spiral, just like the Tower of Babel spiral, just the way the witch's cauldron spiraled. The Italian horn was worn for financial blessings and good luck. And so this was all involved in financial blessings and to bring protection and to promote welfare for a person. It was all through witchcraft. Well, St. Patrick's Day was made by the Catholics again. St. Patrick was our patron saint. A patron saint was one who protected you with good luck and promoted your welfare. That's the blessings. For the person or community or state or institution. So the Catholic changed this pagan witchcraft ceremony of looking to an idol for your blessing or protection into a saint bringing it to pass. Who made their change? You see, what they did, they took the pagan idols and they changed them and made saints out of them. In fact, some of the names of the saints are very similar to the names of pagan idols. They just carried it over and they had a saint instead of their idol that they used to worship, which helped the pagans to come in and be happy and accepting to being involved in this kind of worship. The Catholic saints, you have to realize, this may be difficult for you to realize, but they're really all rooted in idolatry. They're representative of these demons that they would worship. See, these Catholic saints that they would all set up, that's not who we go to. Who's the one that we go to? We go to the Father in the name of Jesus. And we know that the angels of God are what's protective. The angels of God minister for us and to us. And the Holy Spirit's involved and also in doing all these things to bring the blessings of God. Not people that are saints, like these Catholic saints. And in fact, the truth is, everybody who's born again is a saint. We all are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They're looking to idols as false worship. This is the day about whether they're looking to a demon spirit. This day is all about looking to a demon spirit, an idol, a leprechaun, over the earth, a green egg, for your blessings, looking for your pot of gold as such, to get good luck or protection, comes through witchcraft, use the shillelagh or the Italian horn, the witch's cauldron, and it was replaced by the Catholics with St. Patrick, thought to be a saint, but in reality a demon spirit following the same traditions of witchcraft which come from Babylonian false religion. And here we see the same old things. We have to have the green. Comes back to this creature of the earth, the leprechaun, who's going to do all of this divination. We're on Live Talk Radio. Our phone number is 1-800-773-TALK, 1-800-773-8255. Let's move into the next area, and that is the area of Easter. When you go and take a good look at Easter, Easter is a time when the world observes their traditional holiday. The true origin of Easter, though, goes back to paganism. The word Easter comes from a pagan Babylonian goddess named Ishtar, who is the goddess of the rising light of day and spring. Here's that spring goddess, Sun Uranus again. Easter coincides with the spring festival of the pagan worship of the sun. The Babylonian false religion, the false messiah, with their mystery symbols, is all involved in the origin of this thing. Easter is a modern form of Easter, E-S-T-R-E, or Ostra. The Babylonians, the Druids, the Hindus, the Japanese, the Chinese, they all have their sacred egg. The sacred egg of the wondrous size is said to have fallen from heaven into the river Euphrates, and the fish rolled it to the bank, the dove settled on it, hatched it out. Out came this goddess Venus, or Ashtar, which was the same as the sun Uranus. Ashtar was considered to be the great blessing to the human race. The egg became the symbol of Ashtar. That's where we get our eggs from on this thing. Ashtar was the deified queen of heaven. And they were worshiping And this Queen of Heaven is the mother of mankind, the reincarnation, all these type of things, the incarnation of this supposed goddess, goddess of the spring. The Queen of Heaven, Semiramis, gave birth to Tammuz, the sun god, supposedly the resurrected Nimrod. And so that's where the child worship came in. We're at the mother and the child worship. Easter is the worship of Ishtar, and also about the death and resurrection and reincarnation of Tammuz, which was Nimrod come to life again to counterfeit Jesus. Again, remember that Satan does all these things. These are all counterfeits. He always counterfeits the truth. The eggs figured in the religious rites of the pagans. The Druids used the egg as a sacred emblem of their order. The Bacchus Festival of Babylonia, they had a ceremony of consecrating of the sacred egg. It was also used in Egypt and Greece. Hindus had their golden egg. The Japanese had their brazen egg. Chinese had their dyed or painted eggs. That's where that came from. And the Roman Church adopted the mystic egg of Ashtar, and they consecrated it as a symbol of Christ's resurrection. Here's that mixture principle again that Pope Paul V taught to pray at Easter. Bless, O Lord, we beseech thee, this thy creature of eggs, eating it in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. What an abomination. Those hot crust buns of Good Friday were used in worship of the Queen of Heaven, the goddess of Easter. The sacred bread of the cakes offered to the gods. Remember Jeremiah 7:18, it talks about that. Well, now the buns were not offered, but they're eaten now at the festival. Then we come to the subject about Lent. Lent, we have the 40 days abstinence, which is directly borrowed from the worshippers of the Babylonian goddess. They would fast for 40 days in honor of the reincarnated sun god, which was Tammuz. Remember, Tammuz was killed by a wild boar, and he was 40 years old at that time, so they instituted a 40-day fast for every year of Tammuz' life. This Easter ham, also, the reason we eat ham at that time, people eat ham, is because it was getting back at the boar that killed him. So every time you eat the ham, you are taking the place of killing that terrible animal, that boar, that killed their god, Tammuz. And so it's retaliatory. That's the whole purpose for it. And so this is where all the stuff with Lent came. We have a caller on. We're talking about Easter. We're going to continue all of that. We just talked about Lent, where the 40 days abstinence was borrowed from the worshippers of the Babylonian goddess. And this all came because of Tammuz being killed by the wild boar. They instituted this 40-day fast for every year of Tammuz' life. And this is why they eat the ham, because they're eating the ham to kill the animal, the boar, that killed their god, Tammuz. So essentially the purpose of doing it is in retaliation. You're eating the ham, so you're killing the animal. And so we see all these evil things that are associated with this. Now, Rome would appease all of these pagans, emerging paganism and Christianity, by decreeing a solemn observance of Lent. This came at the Council of Aurelia in 519 A.D. by Hermisdas, the Bishop of Rome. The pagans had the Easter month. They called Easter Manath, and that was called the month of the growing sun. The rabbit was the symbol of the moon. It was considered a sacred animal and sacrificed to the goddess Easter. It was also a symbol of fertility and renewed life. They had the sunrise service, which is worship of the sun god. That's why we don't participate in it. In fact, Jesus, when he was raised, by the way, he was raised while it was yet dark. The Mithraeus met at dawn, honored the sun god. The Shinto pilgrims, they pray to the sun. Now, in America, and even in England, the Puritans frowned upon its celebration. 1643, the British Parliament struck not only Christmas, but also Easter from its calendar. But who brought it to America? The Catholics brought it to America, and those of the Church of England. So we see that all these customs, the customs of wearing the new clothes, the customs of the eggs, the customs of the bunny rabbits, all these kind of things, they all go back to all this false stuff. You know, the custom of wearing new clothes was supposedly for bringing good luck. They go to the Temple of Babylon, they welcome the spring goddess and make their baby bonnets and their new suits. And that's where everybody goes out and does those kind of things at this time. But the use of the bunny was because the fertility goddess, they were giving the worship of him because the bunny is the fastest procreating creature. So all these traditions are all, again, false. And what do we celebrate? We don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate the feast of first fruits fulfillment in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, praise God. So all these traditions are evil as well. Also, another one of the holidays, May Day. May Day is a time which is right on May 1st, the witches' holy days, Beltane, a time of dancing and drinking. They dance around the maypole, winding the maypole. That was a dance to Baal. The maypole was a phallic symbol of the male reproductive organ. The females dancing around it was representative of the female organs. And it was all a fertility sexual ritual to the pagan god for fertility and the worship of Baal. All of these pagan things are absolutely no good. And so we need to get rid of all these pagan things. What should we be involved in? If we're going to be involved in any kind of holiday celebration, we should be involved in celebrating the feast of the Lord. We should be celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who on Passover he died, which was the 14th day, unleavened bread, bearing away the sin, first fruits, resurrection from the dead, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit being poured out with the early rain. And we know that the fall feasts, which are the second coming of Jesus, they are going to be fulfilled. They're about to see these things begin to be fulfilled for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we should be participating and celebrating true holidays or holy days, not the ways of the world. God wants you to turn away from them and cross them off your calendar and be a doer of the word.
We trust you have enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, tapes, or to ask further questions, please call 1-877-672-7464.